Chapter 27, Part 1, The Only Good. Looking at the text of Chapter 27 of the Tao Te Ching, it is easy to see that Lao Tzu is speaking about a fivefold approach to life and the five forms of goodness which are its signature. However, the goodness Lao Tzu means must be quite different from the kind ordinary, nature-born people possess and know, for the goodness Lao Tzu is talking about creates quite different results than ordinary human goodness. Lao Tzu is speaking about the hermetic, only good. The ordinary human being, however, knows only the kind good, which is inseparable from its companion, evil. That is why it is so important to draw your attention to this difference right at the beginning of the chapter, because Lao Tzu's words cannot be understood properly unless you remember that he is speaking from the perspective of a world quite different from the one familiar to you. The laws of this other world and the way of life in keeping with those laws are not at all applicable in ordinary nature. If you were to forget this, any reflection on the ancient Chinese wisdom would only lead to misunderstanding, and that would be bound to cause difficulties in your life. The great reality of the two natures is no longer a familiar idea in this world, your world. The fact that the kingdom of the spirit is not of this world has long been forgotten. Yet the age-old doctrine of the two natures is the key to understanding how the path to liberation is followed. Anyone who has lost or can no longer use this key, and can therefore no longer find the path that leads back to the kingdom of the Father, will become hopelessly entangled in the labyrinth of the nature of death. In the light of this information, we would like to take a look at two very common phenomena, which are actually the products of life in our world, theology and humanism. Many people want to serve God and try to understand the Bible because they wish to reach the state of eternal blessedness. This leads them to make desperate efforts to be truly good and to spread goodness in the world around them. In their feelings, thoughts, and actions, they try to conform to the requirements of goodness. But even at the very beginning of this struggle, the painful fact is clear that as soon as you want to do good, evil walks beside you. It even appears that, precisely because you are genuinely trying to do good, you end up doing evil. Or it turns out that your goodness has negative results, that your goodness is not enough, that nothing comes of it, or that the initially positive result quickly crystallizes and petrifies to a mineral-like remnant of what once lived spontaneously. How does that come about? Theologians, in their blindness, denied the inescapable conclusion that the goodness they practiced and preached to their congregations could not be real, that it could not have anything to do with the only good. Instead, they preferred to invent the devil. And by doing so, those who were so afraid of evil and so much wanted to be good consolidated evil as an astral reality. It is easy to see how this can happen. If, in your naivety, you were to think you, as a nature-born person, were good and had done right, and yet things turned out quite differently to what you had imagined, you would be quite likely to deduce the existence of an anti-force, an adversary who must have been responsible. And then the devil would exist, for if only you think long enough about evil, you give it form because of the attributes of the astral substance. If that embodiment then begins to hinder you, and it will do so since you are its creator, and you therefore experience it as your devil, then you can tell all your followers about that experience and formulate doctrines about it. And all those who follow in your footsteps will amplify the negative astral embodiment originally made by just one person into a monstrous being that hinders the whole of humanity and poisons the astral sphere. That is why we repeat the Gnostic truth. The cause of personified evil lies in the goodness of this nature. In that fact lies the negativity, the hopelessness of all theology, of all nature religion. It would be most helpful if you understood this and were willing to accept it as the basic assumption of your new life in the Gnosis. As Jesus, the Lord, says, "No one is good, not even one." May God grant that you will understand these words. The order of existence which humanity knows and experiences and from which its birth in nature is to be explained is a dialectical one, which means to say that it is not, and never can be, an absolute reality. Every phenomenon in it, every characteristic or attribute it could possibly possess, is subject to the law of antitheses. Things appear, and sooner or later, they disappear. So nothing in this world can possibly be absolute. The absolute cannot possibly manifest itself in this alternating movement of rising and setting. Yet the idea, the dream of the only good, does lie within the human being. Even in the worst criminal, a dream of the good exists, but with their nature-born form and in the nature of dialectics, the good, the only good, cannot possibly be realized. No one is good, not even one. If, going against all these natural laws, the ego nevertheless tries to attain this goodness and wrongly calls its goodness love, then it will only cause much sharper contrasts, and the differences between light and darkness will become much, much more painful. For the laws of nature must be fulfilled, and in the alternation of opposites, the light the human ego wishes to hold on to and keep is bound to turn into darkness, and its love into hate. The ego's reality will be lost in delusion and its life in futility. And in its struggle to keep and make permanent what may not be kept, with all the resulting emotional and mental activities, the ego establishes evil as an astral reality in its individual life, sphere, and in the world as a whole. That is the reality in the delusion of dialectics, and through it, the whole astral sphere has been ruined by hordes of archons and aeons, the harvest of religion as it is practiced in this nature. That is why so many people, in the course of the centuries, turned away from religion and took to humanism instead. The negative result of religion was so clear, the chaos it caused so great, that the revolution had to come. For the goodness people had been striving for had not been so good as to preclude their seeking the best for themselves. All this self-seeking gave a powerful stimulus to the development of the I consciousness, and the resulting struggle for existence eventually produced huge contrasts between poverty and wealth, between the suffering of the oppressed and the extravagance of the rich. This was the soil in which humanism germinated, the struggle for freedom fought by the proletariat of all nations. A powerful urge towards goodness erupted in all those who wanted to help the oppressed. Democracy was born, and human rights were held up as a call to freedom. A number of movements were set up to help the poor and oppressed. The whole of Europe shook with philanthropic aspirations. This led to a peak of anti-religious feeling. What the church could not do, humanism in its many forms would accomplish. Europe reached the pinnacle of civilization. Goodness was to be scientifically applied. All men would be brothers. The few remaining blemishes would soon be a thing of the past. But look what, in our present century, was brought in on this wave of goodness. Such a ghastly horror, such a dreadful pestilence, such a savage, scientifically calculated carnage, as has never been seen throughout the whole of world history, or even prehistory. In our school, we lament the terrible fate of the Cathars, the brothers and sisters of the preceding brotherhood, and rightly so. But the behavior of their murderers was like the frolics of a kindergarten class compared with what our century has shown us. Our enlightened, humane century, dripping with goodness, has broken all records in the fields of bloodthirstiness, cruelty, scientific extermination, and insanity. The pinnacle of goodness has brought into the open the pinnacle of human damnable baseness, and it is still going on even now. The human misery of the present moment is indescribable. We will spare you the details. You know them. Where has human civilization led us? In what labyrinth have we been lost? The labyrinth of delusion, shot through with blood and tears. Goodness, no one is good, not even one. It is one great, big, total failure. The religion of nature, born egos, the humanism of nature, born egos, the science of nature, born egos.
Perhaps you do not entirely agree with us. Well then, experience will teach you. Human goodness has left behind too many traces. One great gaping wound, so huge that everyone can see it. The world has become one ghastly charnel house despite religion, humanism, science and everything else. And now Lao Tzu says to us, he whose movement is good will leave no tracks. How can such a standpoint be defended in the stark light of the living present? We will try to answer this question in the next chapter.